Amen. Hey, kind of a scare tonight. It just seemed like the Lord, or I don't know if the devil or what, but I was really struggling to get here tonight. And it seemed like, you know, you ever had those nights where everything's going backwards and you can't seem to get anything going. And it was just a crazy night. And I tell you what, nobody in Milford or New Hudson or South Lyon's in a hurry. Not one person. Everybody's going about 20 under the speed limit, and I was like, ugh! And just nobody's in. I got behind every kind of industrial truck you could find. I mean, they were coming out of the woodwork just pulling in front of us. You know, went to the gas station, used my gas card, wouldn't accept my gas card for some reason. Their machines were down, so then I had to try to run. I mean, it was just a crazy night. I was like, Lord, what's going on? And then I got here, pulled in there, and I was like, okay, we're here, everybody get, where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? I was, oh my goodness, my sermon, my Bible, everything. I was in the chaos. I left it at home. I started going into panic mode. How much of my sermon do I remember? And my daughter Rebecca goes, here it is, Daddy. And she paid. I was like, oh my God. So praise the Lord. It was kind of a crazy night, but the Lord's good, and He got us here. So I'm not going to purposely try to take more time. We'll just go, and when we're done, okay? So if you would open your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. I want to kind of encourage you tonight, give you a little bit of a boost, and get you thinking about some things, and try to be a blessing to you. Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13 is talking about, doctrinally, it's talking about the second coming and the day of the Lord, and it's talking about God's army coming down to face the devil in the battle of Armageddon. And it's a very, very interesting chapter, and the Lord laid it on my heart to preach from it. But in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says this, "The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustered the host of the battle." Now I want you guys to get this in your mind. This is the second coming. We're coming back. "They came from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another." Get this. "Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Now there's a whole lot in that section I just read there, a whole lot of stuff doctrinally. But I'm going to preach to you a little bit spiritually tonight. I'm going to take a little bit of liberty and apply some of it. Now, we can talk about it doctrinally all night. But the Lord laid on my heart to preach a little something different to you. And I want you to pay special attention to Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 2. It says, "Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles." And let's pray. Lord, I thank you for getting us here tonight, Lord. It was crazy, and Lord, it seemed like there were so many distractions, so many things, Lord, to try to just get me off base, and things to discourage, and so many things going on, Lord. And Lord, just kind of, just I don't know if it's just oppression or what it is, Lord, and the flesh or whatever, Lord. But Lord, I just thank you for getting us here tonight safely. I thank you for the people that have come out tonight, and I know, Lord, it's always different when their pastor's not here, and that I know they enjoy it when he's here. And, Lord, I appreciate them coming out faithfully anyway. And, Lord, I pray that you just be with me tonight. Lord, I need your help. I need you to put your hand on me, Lord. I don't want to preach this without you. I don't want you to not be here tonight. Lord, there's so many distractions and so many things, Lord, but I pray you look down upon me right now, Lord, and just wash me in the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Lord, I acknowledge, Lord, that I'm just not worthy to preach your word, and I'm not. And, Lord, I pray that you just help me tonight, Lord. Help me just have the spirit of God, and help me, Lord, to be able to preach this and encourage your people, Lord. I need it. They need it, Lord. Please just be with me tonight. Guide me. Direct me. Help me not say anything foolish, Lord. And please just help these people walk out tonight refreshed, a little bit of a blessing. And help me tonight as well, Lord. In your precious, most holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, Isaiah chapter 13, I wanted you to pay special attention to verse 2, where it says, "Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles." You know what that made me think of? That made me think of when you're lifting up a banner, like walking around waving a flag. You know, in the United States, you have that statue of Iwo Jima, where you have the four Marines, and then you have the one corpsman at the end holding that flag, and they're raising that flag, and it's a symbol of America, of America winning a battle, of America winning or dominating something. They're putting their flag on what's theirs. And it got me thinking about what Christians should do and how they should wave the flag of Jesus Christ and should claim what's theirs. And I started thinking about stuff. I started thinking about like some of the old days. I started thinking about stuff. You know, we always read about all the old preachers and all the old men and women of God that used to do great things for the Lord, and we look up to them. And sometimes I wish I kind of lived back in those days. You know, I wish I lived back in the days of D.L. Moody and Sam Jones and John Wesley and George Whitefield. I mean, it would have been something to hear those guys preach. I wish I could have seen that crowd, and I wish I could have seen it when they preached a sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." I don't know if you've heard about that, but he preached that, and when he preached that sermon, he actually preached it, and he preached it not in a loud voice, he preached it in a monotone voice, and he preached that, and God was in that message so much that the people were literally hanging onto the pews. They thought the bottom of the church was going to open up and they're going to fall into hell. I mean, he had them under conviction. I mean, the Lord was all over that. I would have been something to see. I mean, people were crying and screaming. That's conviction. I wish I could have seen it when hundreds of people stood outside George Whitefield's window and said, "Preach, George, preach." I mean, the guy's sick and dying. I mean, he's at his last breath, and he's sitting there, and his doctor told him, he says, "You can't preach no more. You need to rest. You need to rest." And he'd been preaching all his life, and he's laying there in a bed, and he's laying there in this bed, and all of a sudden, the whole town, or a bunch of people from the town, come out to his house, and they stand outside his window, and they start chanting, "Preach, George, preach, preach, George, preach, preach, George, preach." And he's not supposed to preach, but he got up anyway, and he kind of gets over to the window, and he looks out at them all, and he preaches them a sermon. Man, those are the days. People out there, can you imagine people coming? I mean, Brother Chad, can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine people coming to your house and standing outside your window? Brother Gabe, can you imagine people coming to you outside and just standing outside your window and saying, "You know, preach!" This doesn't happen anymore, but I mean, that's what they used to do. I remember, and I think I've told you about it before, the story of John Wesley when he's out there and he's street preaching, and he's out there street preaching, and people are around him listening to him preach, and a guy gets up behind him with a gun and puts a gun, one of those old-fashioned guns there, puts it to his head and says, "Stop preaching or I'm going to shoot you." And John Wesley is like, "Lord, help me," and he just keeps preaching. The guy says, and he kind of cocks it back, says, "I'm telling you, you better be quiet now, I'm going to shoot you." He's like, "Lord, please help me." And he kept preaching. The guy shot the gun and thing backfired, hit the guy in the face. He's blind. He fell backwards, and they had to carry him off, and he just kept preaching. I mean, what a thing to see the power of God. I mean, what a thing to see things like that. You hear stories about that. That would have been neat to see. I've heard Brother Jack Patterson, heard him speaking about his relationship with Lester Roloff and Jack Howes and Dr. Ruckman in their younger years. I mean, it would have been something to see those guys in their glory. Man, it would have been something to see those guys in their young years and watch them go out. And you know, sometimes I just wish I could have been there. I wish I could have known them. I wish I could have been something I could have seen them. I'm sure some of you do too. Those days must have been something. But the reality is those days are gone. This is not 1780 anymore. It's not 1870. It's not 1920. It's not even 1960. It's not even 1980 anymore. It's 2014, excuse me. I had to think about that. Time's flying. You know, that's the reality of the situation. And the reality of the situation is the world's at its most wicked state. And those days are gone. And most of those guys I talked about, it went home to glory. Not here anymore. And since 33 AD, our Christian forefathers have carried the Christian banner for Jesus Christ. And they've stormed through 2,000 years of blood, persecution, affliction, torture, hardships. They changed lives, they changed countries, they stopped wars, and they gave the devil in this world a fit. And now those brethren who have carried the flag for 2,000 years have went home to glory. And here we sit. You know, how many hands that banner must have went through. How bloody that banner must be. The men and women that carried that went on for God. It's bloodstained. It's torn. And yet, there it lays on the ground. Right there. So the Lord asked me a question. I want to ask you the same question. Who's going to pick it up? We don't have to live in Laodicea. You can pick it up too. But the question is, are you? Who's going to pick up that flag? Who's going to run with it? I just want to know tonight if you're going to pick it up. You know what? We can just go off into the sunset and just lay low and just not do a lot. We can just do some things undercover, try to just do what we can and just kind of huddle in a ball somewhere and just wait for the Lord to come back if we want to. But I think the Lord wants someone to pick up that flag. And how many men have carried that and how many women have carried that? I told you the story about the woman that her and her children, she was a Christian, and back in the 1700s, I can't remember what country she was in, but she was in there and they were trying to persecute all the Christians in there. And they took her and she had four or five kids. And they took her and her kids and they took them to a cliff. And they told her to recant for Jesus Christ, or her belief in Jesus Christ, and she wouldn't do it. They said, if you don't do it, we're going to throw your kids off the cliff. And they took her oldest son, and she just looked at him and says, told him to be strong in the Lord, have faith in God. And she wouldn't recant, so they threw him off the cliff. And they said, do you recant now? She wouldn't. And then one by one, they threw her kids off the cliff. Finally, they took the baby from her arms and threw that off. And they finally grabbed her and threw her off. We're going to be standing next to her at the judgment.
Yeah.
She's carrying that flag. It's laying there. Nobody's picking it up. That's the society we live in. That's a Christian life we live now. Nobody wants to pick up that flag. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to know who's going to pick it up. I want to pick it up. I don't want to go off into obscurity as a guy who just kind of did what little bit he had to do just to get by as for the Lord till the Lord came back. I want to do something for God. And you know why it's hard? I'm going to tell you tonight why it's hard for a Christian to pick up that banner. And I understand it. I'm human, just like the rest of you. I understand that. But I want you to think about these things tonight. And it's hard for a Christian today to pick up the Christian banner because, number one, it's hard to pick up the flag when the enemy seems to be winning. Doesn't it? It's hard when you think you're losing to pick up that flag. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 10. 2 Samuel chapter 10. I know what it's like. You know, it's hard to pick up that that when you think you're losing, why even bother? Why even bother picking it up when we're going to lose anyway? Well, we all know the end of the story. We know we get the ultimate victory, but just right now it's hard because you don't want to be looked at as a loser. So you don't want to pick up that flag. It's hard to pick it up when the enemy seems to be winning. 2 Samuel chapter 10. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. What happened is David sends Joab down to the battle. And to a battle that's greater than they are. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. The Bible says this, and when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate. And the Syrians, the Zobah, and Rahab, and Ishtob, and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw the front of the battle was against him, before and behind, he chose all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. So they're surrounded. They got enemies on both sides of them. Two different enemies, two different nations, and they're in the middle of it. Pretty rough situation. But here's what Joab says in verse 11. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage. Let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. You know, there's going to be a situation in your life where you're going to have to stand up for God and it's going to look impossible. And you're just going to have to trust him and say, you know what, Lord? If I lose, I lose. But I'm going out fighting for you. I'm not going to go to the other side and I'm not going to hide. When you find down in verse 13, the Bible says this, "And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him, and to the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai, and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem." They still won the battle. You know, God's very good at helping you win a battle that seems like you're losing. And you know what? You're going to have to pick up that flag, even though it's hard and it seems like you're going to be losing. You should still pick up that flag. It's hard to pick up that flag when it seems like the enemy's going to win. It's hard. You know, I don't like to lose. I don't know about you. I do not like to lose. If you want to ask anybody if I don't like to lose, ask my wife or ask Brother Chad. They will tell you I do not like to lose. I hate to lose. I hate it. It bothers me for weeks. We play football out here in the front. I mean, it bothered me for days. If we play basketball out here, I mean, I don't like to lose. I hate it. It bothers me. I try to have a better spirit about it. I hate it. I played video games with people. I've even played with Pastor Chad. We played the Madden game, and I'll tell you what, he's evil when you play that stuff. And he'll taunt you, and when you're losing, and I don't take losing very well, and I mean, I've almost broke his PlayStation or whatever it is a couple different times. I mean, I've almost wanted to destroy him. I mean, I get so mad, and you know, you ever just get so mad, you just want to get your, you're just so mad. I hate losing. I'm sure some of you are the same way. I don't like to lose a baseball game. I don't like to lose. But you know, in my life, I've had to learn that I lose sometimes. I don't always win. I'm trying to teach my kids that. I'm trying to teach them that you don't always win. Sometimes you lose. And you learn, I know, you learn a lot more from losing than you do winning. And believe me, I have lost a lot in life. There's a lot of battles I have lost. But you know what? I've learned from them. But you know what I need to do? I need to still keep picking up that flag and going forward. You know, there's a lot of things that have happened in my life. I'm not going to go down that story, and I'm sure you could tell me stories too, that there is times I say, you know what? I don't want to play this game anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I get so discouraged. I say, you know what, Lord? I mean, there has been times I'm like, you know what, Lord? I'm done. The Lord has so much mercy on me. He just lets me rant and rave. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been driving in my car telling the Lord, it's over. I'm done. You say, that's awful. You've been there too. And you're sitting there and you're driving. Lord, I'm done. All right, I'm done. Lord's just like, okay. I'll just let you rant and rave. And you just sit there and you get all mad, get about 20 minutes up the road, and the Lord's like, okay, are you done? You're like, yeah. And then he encourages your heart. But you know what you need to do? You still need to pick up that flag and keep going. It's hard to pick up that flag when the enemy seems to be winning. On May 16th, 1811, in a battle fought between the French and the British, 30,000 French troops met with only 9,000 British troops. So 9,000 against 30,000. 30,000 French troops, 9,000 British troops. They met in La Albera, Spain. After 3 hours of hand-to-hand combat, the British colonel Ignis was killed. So their leader was killed. He had only 85 officers left of his original 728. The regimental colors, and most of you know the colors are the flag that they carried for the country. The regimental colors of the British 57th Reg were knocked out of the hands of the young man carrying the colors. So the guy who was carrying the colors, because they go into battle, they're waving that flag as they go into battle. It got knocked out of his hands. He got shot. Then another young man who was 16 years old picked the flag up. He too went down by the slashing of the enemy's sabers. A third soldier picked up the colors, and then he was killed. But as he fell, a British lieutenant who had half his face gone from a sword cut and one arm severely ripped from his arm severely ripped off, he took the colors off the pole and stuffed them under his uniform rather than surrender them. And while the British commander was dying, he yelled out, "Die hard, 57th, die hard." They're losing, and they're all dying. And their colonel says, "Die hard. Die hard." You know what the Lord wants you to do tonight? He wants you to die hard. You know what? It seems like you're losing. We know we're going to get the ultimate victory, but you know what we need to do as Christians in this time? We need to pick up that flag and take it into battle. You need to carry it. You need to go into battle, and when you start feeling like you're getting defeated, you just keep going. Say, "Lord, I'm going forward." And the Lord says, "You just keep fighting until you can't fight no more. You just keep going until I come back." You need to pick up that flag. So many men and women have picked it up. And yet it lays there. And no one will pick it up. Because they think, well, what's the use? We're losing anyway. Who knows what God's going to say? Who knows what God's going to do if you pick that flag up? He's just waiting for someone to pick it up. Will you pick it up? Seems like the devil's winning. But die hard, Christian, until the Lord comes back. It's hard to pick up the flag when the enemy's winning. Are you going to pick it up? Or are you going to just look at it and say, wow, some great men and women have carried that flag. Why don't you pick it up? You know, I like I said, I don't like to lose, but I mean, I remember when I was in high school, we were playing basketball in high school, and we were playing a team we really had no business playing. Okay, they're a team that was way out of our league. And we were playing them, and we got there, and we got to the court, and we're playing this team. Actually, it was my wife's high school, and they were a lot bigger than, you know, bigger school. I was in a small little country school. She was in a lot bigger school. And we were playing them, and so it was kind of an odd thing that we were even playing each other because we weren't even in the same league. I mean, we're not even in the same anything. So we got there, and I remember we got there, and we went to their place, and it was their gym, and we went there, and they had this really nice gym. You know, where ours was just kind of a little nothing gym. We got there, they had this really nice gym, nice bleachers. We get there, we come in, they got their fancy uniforms on. We got, I don't know what it was, some type of material we had on with a number on it. And we come out there, and we start doing our pregame warm-ups. We're doing our layups, and they're doing their layups. And I remember looking down there, and they're all sitting there with their basketballs looking down at us, pointing at us and laughing. Like, look at that little, you know, little hick school down. And they're laughing at us, and they're just bouncing the ball. And I mean, it's going to be easy W for them. My coach said, just go in there and fight them as hard as you can. We scored the first 10 points of the game before they even scored, and we never got behind the whole game. And we won that game. And then we played them again later that year, and we beat them again. And we were so proud of ourselves, like, man, we beat them twice, and it was so great. And I thought, man, they must think something of us. And then it wasn't until I met my wife years later, and she went to that school, and I told her about it. She goes, yeah, they said, it was actually one of her friends said, yeah, they said that they played your freshman team. That's the only way they could get out of the fact that we beat them. They tried to tell them we were a freshman team. That's the way they could beat us. But the key is we won. We kept fighting. We didn't give up. Even though we didn't look as good as they did, even though we didn't look as strong as they did, we still won. And even though it seems like the devil, I mean, you look around, it is so discouraging. I don't even like to read the news. I don't like to watch it anymore. It's so discouraging. You can't even watch sports. You can't watch nothing. It's just everywhere. And it's discouraging seeing what's going on with the world today, and you get discouraged. But you know what you need to do? Pick up that flag and go and see what the Lord's going to do. It's hard to pick up the flag when it seems like the enemy is winning. Secondly, this, it's hard to pick up the flag because that makes you a target. Makes you a target. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We don't like to be targets. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Are you going to pick up that flag even though it makes you a target? 1 Samuel chapter 17. We know this story very well. 1 Samuel chapter 17, look at verse 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou who hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Christian, is there not a cause? Are we done? Is the game over? I say game loosely. I'm not trying to be irreverent, but are we done? Are we just sweeping up, waiting for the Lord to come back? Or are we supposed to be going forward? You need to pick up that flag. You notice that? Sometimes even your own brethren will go against you. You try to do something for God, try to pick up that flag, and brethren will mock you for it. But you know what you need to do? You need to pick it up. You need to go forward. And you know the story. David goes and defeats the giant. The giant is the devil. We can't defeat him on our own, but with the Lord's help, just like David couldn't defeat him by himself. He needed the Lord. We need the Lord. And the Lord can win us great and mighty battles. But you have to step out, and you have to pick up the flag. Sitting there, just talking about it, and just showing up here and there is not going to get it done. You've got to get up and pick that flag up and run with it. And you don't want to do it because you're afraid you're going to be a target. Be a target. You're going to pick up that banner and run for Jesus Christ. The person who picks up the flag gets noticed by enemy and ally alike. You're just right there. They see you. Let me tell you something. The devil's going to notice it. If you pick up that flag, he'll notice. And you'll be a target. Praise God. Be a target. You know why most Christians don't pick it up? They don't want to become a target. They don't want to get shot at. It's much easier to lay down and be quiet, keep your mouth shut, and the devil will leave you alone. But you need to pick up that banner. You don't want to become a target. You'll be safe. It's easy at headquarters. But you need to get out. And I want to encourage you tonight to pick up that flag. You know, sometimes it's just hard to get out there and witness. It's like battle. Have you noticed that? Have any of you went out door knocking? Have any of you went out and done anything for the Lord? It's hard. Your flesh never wants to do it. Isn't it seem like everything? I was telling Pastor Chad, it seemed like every time right before I get to preach, I feel sick. And it's not nerves necessarily. I mean, yeah, I get nervous sometimes. But it seems like all of a sudden I feel like I have the flu or something like that. I don't know what it is, if it's oppression or something. But there's a battle going on. And every time you decide you're going to go out and do something for God, you say, you know what? This week I'm going out and I'm going to pass out tracts. This week I'm going to go to the jail. This week I'm going to go to the nursing home. This week I'm going to go out and do something for God. I'm going to go to the institute. I'm going to do this. And every time you make a decision to do something, all of a sudden the devil's going to come after you because you become a target. And the last thing the devil wants you to do is get on fire for God. Last thing he wants you to do is pick up that banner and run with it. He would rather you just sit there and be quiet and not say a word and not do anything and just get through life and eke your way through and just do the basic things you have to do. And then at the end of your life, say, okay, Lord, I hung in there for you. But the Lord says, he's going to say, you never picked up the flag. You need to keep going. If you don't want to get shot at, then just mingle in with the enemy. He won't even notice you. You know, when I was a corpsman with the Marines. I was a Navy corpsman, just like Pastor Chad. And you go out in the field with them, and you're the doc. You go out with them. And I learned that the three people that the enemy wants to take out of your unit, the three main people the enemy wants to take out, there's three main people they want to take out, and they'll fully debilitate your unit. Number one's the officer. They want to take out the officer. Second one's the radio man. The third one's the medic. They can take those three out, then you pretty much got you. You know, in a church, we're a unit. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to take out the ones that he thinks are going to help him. The ones that he knows can do something for God. The ones that don't do anything he's not worried about. He won't get shot at. But the ones that are going to do something for God, he's going to take a shot at you. But you know what? God's going to bless you for it too. He wants you to pick up the flag. It takes some guts to pick up that flag. It's scary. Men were getting shot, falling to the ground. Other men picking it up and keep running. They get shot. Another man pick it up. He go running. Christian, you need to pick up that flag. Listen, the men and women have went through history with blood-stained hands carrying that flag, carrying that banner for Jesus Christ, running. And you know what happened? They fell down. They went up to glory. That banner is sitting there, and we stand around in a circle and look at it. And the enemy's coming. And we're running out of time to make a decision. You need to pick up that banner. You need to pick it up, even though it makes you a target. On D-Day, June 1944, at the Battle of Normandy, Colonel Charles Canham was with the soldiers that were trying to invade the beach. Men were being shot at all around them. And this colonel, he's got blood coming out of a wrist wound. He's got blood coming out, and he's got his arm basically useless. He can't even use it anymore. And they're getting shot at, and he's just watching his men just get shot. I mean, they're just targets sitting there. And you know what he says? He says, come on, men, follow me. He goes, they're murdering us down here. Let's go inland and get murdered up there. Hey, man, listen, you know what? If we're going to get murdered, let's get as close as we can. Let's do as much damage as we can. Listen, we know what the Antichrist is going to do. We know what's going to happen to this world. But before the Lord comes, get us. Let's do as much damage as we can to them. Let's go out and do something for God. Let's get some tracts out. Let's go out and do something and just get on fire for God. You know what? When the Lord takes us home, then we know we went all the way carrying that banner. And that banner shouldn't drop until he calls us home. To do something. Go on and let's go inside, go inland and get murdered up there. Let's just keep going for God. He picked up the flag. You know what made him a target. Listen, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying, you know, it's something that everybody wants to do, but listen, if you want to make your life worth something for God, if you want to do something for God, I don't know what God's got in mind for you, but you know what you need to do? You need to pick up that banner and go for Him. Sometimes Christians, they are guilty of just standing around looking at the banner saying, boy, sure would be nice to pick that up. Man, there's some great men and women that have carried that banner. Yeah, one day, you know, when I get things straightened out in my life, I'm going to pick it up. Yeah, sure, I'm going to pick that up. I sure am. Yep, I'm going to pick that up. Yep, right, I got to go home now, but I'll be back later, and one of these days, I'm just going to pick that flag up. I'm telling you, I really am. I'm going to pick it up. And it lays there. And the enemy keeps advancing forward. And someone needs to pick that flag up. You know what you need to do? You need to rally the troops. Some of them are getting discouraged. And they need someone to step in there and pick it up and run with it. You need to pick up that flag, even though it makes you a target. Christians that pick up the flag today, this is something that I thought was interesting. This is just me. This is not doctrinal. But the third point I want to make is this. Christians that pick up the flag today will be able to carry it when they come back with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not teaching that doctrinally, but there's something to that. Turn to the Song of Solomon, chapter 6. I wonder. Now, I'm not saying doctrinally. So please don't say, Bro Josh, is this doctrinal? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I wonder about this. Song of Solomon, chapter 6. Now, most of you know the typology of Song of Solomon. It's Solomon and his bride, which is the type of Jesus Christ and his bride, whose bride is the church, which is us. And they're talking to each other. And Song of Solomon, chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. And he's talking about his bride. And Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 4. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Isn't that interesting? His bride's like an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing. Whereof everyone beareth twins, and there is not one barren among them. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 80 queens, and 80 concubines, and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon? The moon's a type of the church, right? Reflecting the light of Jesus Christ, the sun. Clear as the sun and terrible as an army with banners. You know what Jesus Christ calls his bride? An army. You know what we're supposed to be? An army with banners. We're supposed to be waving banners for Jesus Christ. When we come back in the second coming, we're going to be waving banners. And you know what? I don't think everybody's going to get to hold a banner. I wonder, and I'm not teaching this doctrinally, but I wonder if Jesus Christ looks down on here right now and he sees who picks up the flag here, and that's not who he's going to let carry the flag up there. I wonder if he's going to walk up and down those ranks before we come back in the second coming, just like a general, and walk down those ranks and look at all of us, and he's going to pick the ones he wants to hold that flag. It's an honor. In the U.S. Army, back in the Civil War, it was an honor to carry that flag. You were a target, but it was an honor to carry it. You were carrying the colors. And when you went down, somebody had to pick it back up for you. It was not to lay down on the ground. You know, if you're in the military, the flag never touches the ground. That's a United States of America. What do you think the Lord thinks about his banner? And yet it's laying there. I mean, you could let your flag, I mean, right now, if you let the American flag out there look tattered or not sitting right on your flagpole, don't do certain things, the people will get upset. Veterans will drive by, and they'll come by and talk to you, and they'll upset how you're treating the flag. That's the American flag. I wonder what the Lord thinks about his banner sitting there, and no one will pick it up. I wonder if he looks at it and says, who's going to pick up my banner? And he's looking, and he says, you know what, whoever carried it, since you carried my flag through the tough times and through the battles there on earth, how about you carry my flag for me as we march to victory? I think only a few will be able to do something like that. You know what you need to do? You need to keep fighting and carry that flag no matter what. No matter how many times you get shot down, no matter how much you fail, you just keep fighting until the Lord comes back. You know something? We're in a spiritually awesome lineage. I mean, you look back from all the way from the apostles and Paul, and as they led people to Christ, and people coming down that line, and you see all sorts of people and Christians doing all sorts of things for the Lord. I mean, you read stories about people rejoicing when they're going to get tortured for Christ because they're going to do something for God. You read about people that wanted to be missionaries and they sold themselves into slavery so they could witness to people. Read about people that would go into jungles and places where they would go and they would die trying to give the gospel. And they would people going into all sorts of places and they would do something for God. They would lay their lives on the line. They would let their family lose their families. They lose their children. They lose their wife. Women would lose their husbands. Women all by themselves out in the jungle trying to take little kids that they were leading, that they had led to Christ and were training up for Jesus Christ, trying to take them through jungles, trying to lead them away from armies that were coming through there. Women coming through there just trying to lead these children, God doing great things for them and getting them through that. People getting tortured. People getting ripped apart. People being put in arenas so lions could rip them apart. I can't remember his name. You might remember. There's a Christian. Was it Polycarp, maybe? I can't remember. But they put him in there. He's a Christian. They took him in there, and they're going to let him be eaten by lions. And you know what he did? he's just so zealous. I mean, some of these Christians, he walked up to where they had the door where they're going to open it up for the lions to come out. He went up there, and he's like, went up to the door, and said, "Hey, come on out of there. Come on out. Come on out. Come out. Here I am. Come on out. Come out." Started knocking on that door, trying to get him to come out and get him. He was ready to die for the Lord. And here we are. And there the banner sits. And we look at it and say, wow, that was something. Do you know those people were no different than you and me? They weren't like some special breed of people that had some special powers that were able to do that. They were people like you and me that had children, that had husbands, that had wives, that had family, that they loved very much. But they loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and God gave them the ability and the power to do those things. Why? Because they finally walked over, and they said, "I'm going to pick it up." And they picked it up and carried it. And they became a target. And they knew they were in a losing battle. They still went forward and did it anyway. You ever heard of the term rear guard? You know what the rear guard does in a military battle? Usually when you're getting overrun by an army and you know you're not going to win, what they do is they take and they try to evacuate all as many troops as they can out of there because they know they're going to lose most of them. So they try to get them out of there, like by chopper or by whatever way they can get them out of there. They say, get out of there. But they only leave a few people back, like a small unit back. And that small unit's got to sit there and fend off the enemy so the other guys can get away. And 9 times out of 10, that rear guard ends up getting killed. Their job is not to win. They're not there to win. They're there to hold the line so their buddies can get out of there. And I've heard a preacher say that. You know what we are? We're the rear guard. We're supposed to be holding the lines. A lot of the guys who carry the flag, a lot of the women that carry the flag, they're gone. We're it. And God says, just hang in there. Pick up my banner. Hold the line. I'm coming. But you got to pick up that banner. Woe be to us if we're not holding that banner when he comes back. And many Christians won't. They'll be hiding. But you know what I want to do? I want the Lord to come back and me to be holding that banner. And maybe I'm shot up. Maybe I'm down. Maybe I've made a lot of mistakes. But you know what? I'm still holding that banner. And bloody as I am and as messed up as I am, I'm going to hand that banner to Jesus Christ when he comes back. Don't you want to do that? You need to pick up that banner. Are you going to pick up that banner for Jesus Christ? Even though you become a target? And I think the Lord is going to pick some people out and let them carry his banner. Say this and I'll be done. There is a man who seemed to have a knack for losing. And I know you've heard about this man. Seemed to have a knack for losing. As a young man, he started a business and it failed. Then he ran for the legislature and was defeated. He tried his hand at private enterprise and failed. He's finally elected to legislature, but then his sweetheart dies and he had a nervous breakdown. Then he was defeated for speaker. Then he was defeated for elector. And then he lost the race for Congress. He's losing a lot. And he finally got elected to Congress, but then he got voted out. Then he ran for Senate, and he lost. Then he was defeated for Vice President. And then he ran again for the Senate and lost again. You'd think the guy just realized what's going on and just quit, right? But you know what? He kept going. And one day he was elected President of the United States. I think most of you know who I'm talking about. It's Abraham Lincoln. You know, he kept carrying that flag for his country. He kept carrying that flag and never gave up. I'm not saying he carried the country or the flag for Jesus Christ, but listen, you can learn something from that. You may lose many battles. You may go fight today and lose, but tomorrow, you know what? Pick up the flag, go again, and pick up that battle. And all the devil wants you to do is quit. And there may be somebody in here tonight that says, you know what? I'm done. But let me tell you something. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. And what you need to do is pick up that flag and go forward. Ask God, if you've failed him, if you've done something, ask him to forgive you. And just say, Lord, I want to get back up. You know what the Lord wants you to do? Just get back up. A just man falls 7 times and get it up again. But you know what you need to do? You need to keep that flag. You need to keep picking it up and go forward for Jesus Christ. You know, you may say, well, you kind of feel like you're rebuking us tonight. You know what I really want to do? I want to encourage you. I don't want you to walk away and say, man, Brother Josh just kind of chewed us out there. No, I'm not trying to chew you out. What I want you to do is I want you to be encouraged. I want someone in here, if not everybody, to say, you know what? I'm tired of just sitting in the corner. I'm tired of sitting here just doing the minimum. And I know a lot of people do a lot. But you know what? In your heart, you know whether or not you got to pick up that banner or not. And what I want you to do tonight and think about is that banner. And it sits there tonight. It's got blood all over it. And men and women have carried it for years and years and years and years. And here we are, and the Lord's coming back any minute. And it's sitting there. And the question is, who's going to pick it up? Is it you? Or are you going to wait for the guy next to you to do it? Pick it up. Though all those things I told you about happen, you become a target, all those things like that, you know what happens when you pick up that banner? The Lord looks down and says, amen. And your relationship with him is that much closer. Amen. When I was in Haiti, I saw some crazy stuff, me and Brother Dan did. But you know what I saw in Haiti? I saw God moving in a way to protect us in so many ways, even when we're foolish, because we're out there doing something for him. In a place that people I know would never go to, preachers I know that I have respect for said they'd never go to Haiti. They said, I remember one preacher specifically saying, oh, I'm not going down there and dying. And we went down there, and you saw God just move on that whole thing. And as we're out there passing out tracts in an area where people shoot each other on the streets for no reason and walk away, we're out there doing that, and God just put his hedge of protection around us. I saw an evil nation that had the power of the devil on it, and I saw God move people like chess pieces wherever he wanted them. Let them go through. You know, if you pick up that flag, it's dangerous because you're a target, but you'll never get to see the power of God move in your life until you pick it up. Good. You want to be like those men and women that we just talked about? You say, oh, those are special people. No, they are just normal people like us. But they just picked up the flag. And you can too. None of us are great in ourselves. Not one of us in here is spiritual enough to do something for God. But God, once you pick that banner up, he'll say, okay, I'm going to do something with you. But you'll never know if you pick it up. You can pick it up. We'll see. I encourage you tonight to pick up the flag and to see what God will do in your life and see the miracles he'll move. And maybe one day somebody's watching you, and when you put the flag down, when the Lord takes you home, they'll say, they did it, so can I. And you'll encourage someone else. Let's pray.